What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports, interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. You know me, I'll give you my unbiased opinion. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith, a presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Introducing a new offer from Xfinity. It's unlimited internet with gig speed and supersonic Wi-Fi. And get this, there's no annual contract required, no equipment fees, and a 2-year internet rate guarantee. It even comes with a free Flex 4K streaming box. It's all just $50 a month when you add Xfinity Mobile with unlimited data. The supersonic bundle. Go to Xfinity.com/gig, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store to learn more. Limited time offer. Restrictions apply. Requires paperless billing and auto pay. New gigabit internet customers only. Xfinity Mobile requires postpay Xfinity internet. After 24 months, regular rates apply to all services and devices.
We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family. Rocket can. If you want to make Patriot fans happy, you may need to play Zappy. Mac Jones just throws an interception on his third drive of the game. Three and out. They finally start to move the ball, and he throws a pick. So now the Bears get the ball back, and they already are supporting a 10-0 lead. Five questions, five answers. We do this every Monday and Friday. Let's get to a little onsides, offside. Hot take, Icky. Let's not even waste five more seconds. Hit it!
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's onsides, offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, HTH, what do you got for me?
Well, Zach, it was another rough Sunday for two of the best quarterbacks of all time as both Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady lost as steep favorites. The Packers, they scored just 14 offensive points against the Commanders, while Rodgers was held to just 194 passing yards. Green Bay in the game did not convert a third down for the first time since 1999.
That's like impossible.
That is literally does feel like it's an impossible.
Like, if you would have told me that the Commanders would have beat the Packers, I wouldn't have believed you. But if you would have told me that the Packers wouldn't convert a third down against the Commanders, my probably response would have been, oh, well, they never even got to third down. Or maybe they only got to, like, two third down situations in the game because they were kicking the Commanders' ass that badly. And that wasn't the case. They got their ass kicked.
That they did. That's just a statistical anomaly for sure. On the other side, though, the Bucs were held to just 3 points against the Panthers. As now you look up through seven games, Tampa, they are 25th in the NFL in terms of points per game, averaging just 17.7.
Oof. Yeah, their offense has been horrible.
Oofa, you said it, sir. So onsides or offsides, Zach? The Packers, they are more likely to turn their offensive woes around compared to the Buccaneers.
I'm going offsides.
Offside.
And here's why. I think the Bucs just have more talent on the offensive side of the ball, where the Packers may need to go get a wide receiver, whether that's a Jerry Jeudy who's overrated who could be available. Can they get Odell Beckham? They tried last year. The Bucs have the pieces. Their line hasn't been great. I don't think Brady is playing as bad as what people think. But their receivers have been banged up. Mike Evans dropped the football yesterday. Like, I'm not giving Brady a free pass here. But I also factor in the division. Bucks are still going to win that division. Packers are playing from behind because the Vikings are 5-1. So I'll give the edge more to Brady than I will Rodgers. And also the situation that is around Brady, I think, on the offensive side of the ball is better, even though it's not great. But you're comparing it to what the situation is at Lambeau Field with the Green Bay Packers.
This NFL season so far has been filled with a ton of surprises. The Seahawks, who would have thought they're right now in first place in the NFC West.
Take that, Russ!
After they are just total drubbing of the Chargers.
Seahawks are cooking, baby, without you.
4-3. Watch out, Geno Smith for MVP.
Let me ask you this. If Russell Wilson could do it over, think he stays in Seattle now? Says, okay, Pete. I'll see your vision a little bit.
I don't.
Oh, come on. You're playing with Nathaniel Hackett, who's a bozo.
I don't think so.
That roster offensively is not as good as what he thought it was. Russell Wilson is a fool if he wouldn't be going crawling back to Pete Carroll and the Seahawks right now.
He may regret, and maybe if he could do it over again, switch the team he would choose. I just feel like him and Pete Carroll were just at an end where he just had to get out.
Yeah, well, that's a bad look on Russell Wilson.
And you're not wrong. It's looking worse and worse by the day.
Where else would he have gone to?
I mean, realistically, you could look at a team like Carolina who needed a quarterback. You could have looked at a team, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I mean, the Colts are on the quarterback market. Could look for a team. I mean, I don't know if Miami would have pulled the trigger, but I mean, also Miami was kind of flirting with others before, you know, I don't say settling for Tua, but they were, you know, always
Eagles were interested.
Peeking around. Eagles. Like, Russell Wilson's stock was very high. I know it's hard to, you know, think now. His stock was very high in the offseason. I think there would have been at least 10 teams in.
Well, I don't know about 10.
And we just listed four or five right there.
But you got to remember, his ego is so big, he was only willing to go to a certain amount of teams.
Well, the teams he would be interested in, a different story. Right. Like, in terms of calling
he's
the Seahawks,
he's really become
calls,
unlikable. Which is crazy, because I never had a gripe ever with Russell Wilson. He has become unlikable now.
By the way,
Bailey Zappe coming on in.
And it looks like there's a lot of cheering. It looks like there's a lot of cheering right now in the crowd. Wow.
Wow.
That was quick.
That was a quick hook.
Three series. Now, it was ugly, but three series?
Why even start Mac Jones if you're going to go to Bailey Zappe after three series? And I guarantee you this, because they're starting off, I think this is right at the 45, you know he's putting this ball in the end zone. The Patriots will get points. They will get a touchdown on this drive. That's a quick hook.
Now, Adam Schefter did tweet before the game that there's a chance, I guess, both quarterbacks could play.
Let me say this. I love Schefter. No one knows anything when it comes to Bill Belichick.
I would agree. So I throw that out there by saying, obviously, we don't have the sound on here. I don't think this was planned. Like, they planned to play both quarterbacks. But with that said, I mean, either Mac is clearly not healthy enough, which you mentioned before, he's limping around. He does not look like he's 100%. And they kind of rushed him back, and maybe that's just Mac getting nervous about his job security and wanting to be back. But he did not look healthy enough to be out there fully. And I don't
you know
if Belichick agreed
doing?
Or...
Belichick's a man that always adjusts. He looked at what happened with Clemson, and he's saying, oh, DJ Uiagalelei got pulled? That's my Mac Jones, DJ Uiagalelei? All right, they put in Cade Klubnik? Somewhat worked. We have Bailey Zappe. And then after the game, I could just go,
yeah, Max still going to play a lot of good football for us, but we just felt like it was time for a change.
Maybe Belichick's just trying to adjust from what he sees in the college game.
If that's the case, I cannot wait for those post-game questions.
And by the way, the Patriots off a screen pass to Ramondre Stevenson already at to the Bears 30. But for a young quarterback, and Mac is a confident kid, and they keep on showing him on the sideline, someone on the Patriots sideline now needs to go over to him. Like, you have to have a teammate or two, like, go over and try to keep Mac's spirits up here, because there's no way you could be happy after getting benched three drives into the game. First drive back from injury.
I wonder if we've already seen the last of Mac Jones in a Pats uniform.
And you're at home, and the fans are going to be going nuts here when Zappe puts the ball in the end zone. This could really mentally screw with the youngster. And back to drop is Bailey Zappe. And he has a good throw down to the two. They say he's in for a touchdown. Jacoby Myers. We're happy for Zappe. How about that? A 30-yard touchdown. Zappe hour, as they show on the screen.
I don't want to rain in the parade.
This is Bailey Zappe, Steve.
Not the best throw in the world. Just saying.
Let me tell you
he
something.
He was wide open.
I don't give a rat's ass about any of your opinions moving forward when it comes to the quarterbacks.
Touchdown.
Because all your quarterbacks that you root for suck.
But I'm just saying. I mean, if we're, you know,
doesn't
in the
matter.
Quarterback
it's
evaluation.
A touchdown. It's life. Who cares? Well, what do you know? You're a Colts fan. What do you know about good quarterback play?
I'll tell you what I know.
You
bad
thought Carson
quarterback
Wentz
play
was going to be good.
But I know bad quarterback play. That's for sure. I've seen a lot of it.
Well, you think Bailey Zappe's been a bad quarterback? Looked pretty good against the Lions and the Browns.
What are you doing, by the way? What are you doing?
I'm just being happy.
You are a Mac Jones defender. You have talked about how this is Mac Jones' job. And now I hear the giddiness in your voice. I hear the excitement when you said, they're bringing in Bailey Zappi. Yeah, you could hear a little extra juice.
I like Mac Jones.
Compared to when Mac Jones was in.
I'm a fan of Mac Jones. I said this forever. I think Mac Jones could be good if they actually put the right pieces around him. I don't think he's great. But I do like Mac Jones. We shared a very nice breakfast together. We have a little bit of a texting relationship. But the bottom line is, I know what it's now like to be a regular football fan. You know, for the last 20 years, I was living in the penthouse. It was awesome. I had no concerns. My biggest concern was, were we going to lose in the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl, or were we going to win the Super Bowl? Like, those are the three possibilities for the last 20 years of my life. Now, it's been a tough time. You know, we went 10-7 last year and lost in the playoffs in the first round. Now, this Bailey Zappi kid comes in. He's played well for three games. So I'll be like every other NFL fan and start to just be delirious and go nuts and root for whatever chaos goes down that hopefully benefits my football team.
All righty. Well, back to the question. We did get a little derailed there by Zappi Hour coming in and throwing a nice touchdown pass.
Now, let me tell you, I'm drinking these crazy takes right now. I'm like you.
That was surprising. The Seahawks sitting in first place in the NFC West is surprising. The Giants sitting at 6-1 after the last second win over the Jaguars. That's surprising. The Jets, they won their fourth game in a row on Sunday. They're 5-2. That's surprising. On top of your offside, Zach, the Seahawks right now are the biggest positive surprise through 7 weeks.
Bailey Zappi just threw a touchdown. He's clearly the biggest surprise of the NFL season so far. All kidding aside, Seahawks have been a great surprise. I would have never thought they'd be 4-3 through the first 7 weeks of the season, but I'm going off sides here, and it's something against the Seahawks. I didn't even know if the Giants were going to have 6 wins before the season started. They have 6 wins through 7 weeks, and they're a lock to make the playoffs. The Giants are clearly the biggest surprise in a positive way of the NFL season so far.
Offside.
Clemson, they beat Syracuse on Saturday, but it was not easy, and it was without controversy, or wasn't without controversy, I should say, because they were down 21-10 in the third quarter. Dabo Swinney decided to pull DJ Uiagalelei, who at that point had 3 turnovers, and they did instead put in true freshman sensation Cade Klubnik. Now, the former 5-star recruit completed just 2 passes, but did lead the Tigers to 17 points in the fourth quarter as Clemson won 27-21. And after the game, despite making the move in-game, Dabo Swinney did say that DJ was still the starter moving forward. Onside or offside, Zach, Dabo is right in making, or I should say keeping, DJ as the starter.
This is maybe the toughest question you've ever asked me, because DJ Uiagalelei has played like solid football this year. He's played more than solid football. He's played good. He's played really good this year. But last week, he went back to 2021 DJ Uiagalelei, and the coach said, we got to get him out of the game. Since they have a bye week and since Cade Klubnik did not dominate, I think it's the right call to go with DJ Uiagalelei against Notre Dame. But it will also be the right call if he pulls him again, if DJ's not playing well. And then maybe if Cade dominates, like what Caleb Williams did last year replacing Spencer Rattler, that changes the conversation. So I could go both ways on this. But I'll say for now, with the bye week, the way that DJ's played for the majority of the season, I think it's the right call keeping him as the starter. I'll go on sides.
Oregon, they took number 9 UCLA to the absolute woodshed.
Quack, 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 quack.
Beat him 45 in a game that really, the score's not even as close or indicates the game is as close as it really was. Bo Nix, he was absolutely sensational, going 22 of 28 for 283 yards and 5 touchdowns as the Ducks gained 545
Holy
yards.
Smokes.
Of total offense, they were unstoppable. Now, since that week one just blowout loss to Georgia, which they lost 49-3, the Ducks have gone 6-0. They're averaging 49 points per game in that span, and Bo Nix has combined rushing and passing for 25 touchdowns to 1 interception. Onside or offside, Zach, Oregon is a legitimate college football playoff contender.
Onsides. They are. Now, they have to win out, win the Pac-12. But if you can get Clemson to suffer a loss, that opens up the field. See, that's a tough part. Like, they are a contending team in Oregon to get to the college football playoff. I just don't know if there's going to be a spot available because two SEC teams will get in. Either Michigan or Ohio State will get in. And then if you have Clemson that's undefeated, Clemson's going to get in. But the Pac-12 could be the second-best conference this year in college football, either them or the Big 12. And the Ducks, led by Bo Nix, who has been so up and down, so hot and cold in his career, has been flawless ever since that Georgia game. So I'll put the Ducks with Dan Lanning as a college football playoff contender. They got a shot to get in, but they're going to need some help. But they can only control what's in front of them for now, and then you're going to need Clemson to lose.
And finally, the Chiefs. They let up one of the best defenses in the NFL on Sunday, hanging a 44 spot on the 49ers. Patrick Mahomes in that game, he was surgical. Threw for 423 yards and three touchdowns. Now for the season, Kansas City is first in the NFL in points per game, averaging 31.9. The Chiefs as a team have the highest passer rating. Obviously, most of that is, well, all of it really, is Patrick Mahomes. And the Chiefs are second to the Bills in total offense. They're averaging 403 yards per game. Onsides or offsides, Zach, the Chiefs have right now have the best offense in the NFL.
Offsides.
Offside.
Buffalo Bills. Would you agree with that? I feel like this is a trick question.
I mean, I think they're neck and neck. I would probably give the very, very, very slight edge to the Bills, but I mean,
Bills just beat the Chiefs.
Okay, they did.
Justin Fields interception. Oh my God, this is setting up for a Zappy hour tomorrow. Zappy mania coming up tomorrow. Nah, yeah, I think the Bills, here's the difference. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, you're splitting hairs. I do think Buffalo has a better offensive line than Kansas City. But when it comes to reliable wide receivers, Diggs would be the best wide receiver on Kansas City. Gabe Davis would be the best wide receiver on Kansas City. Now, Travis Kelce's Travis Kelce as a great tight end in this league, but I just think there are more reliable weapons to throw the ball to on Buffalo than Kansas City, and that's the tiebreaker for me. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, I'll give you my top three teams in the AFC, my top three teams in the NFC, and also, we got a whole lot of quarterback conversation to talk about. Bailey Zappe dominating. Matt Ryan bench. P.J. Walker now QB1 in Carolina. Taylor Heineke just told Carson Wentz to shut his mouth. This is just mayhem when it comes to quarterback play in the NFL.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
I cannot wait until after this game, Hot Take Hickey. Patriots are now up 14-10. Bailey Zappe's come in, and they've had two touchdown drives. Belichick postgame is going to be phenomenal. Because you know what the only thing they're going to ask him about? Is it Bailey Zappe or Mac Jones next week? Is it Bailey Zappe or Mac Jones? And Belichick is not going to give you any indication post game. He's going to say, we'll go through the evaluation process and, you know, we'll play whoever gives us the best chance to win. We'll play whoever's going to give us the best chance to win. We'll play whoever gives us the best chance to win. That's what you know is going to happen after this game tonight, Hot Take Hickey. Assuming the Patriots win. You know, the game's far from over. It's 14-10. Let's not get crazy here.
It's also the Bears, so you should win this game. Bailey Zappe looked good. I'm just trying
Bailey Zappe's only played against really the Lions and the Browns, you know, came for the second half against the Packers. Not like he's playing these great teams, but
no, you're right.
And I'm not telling you that he's the guy. You know, I still think they believe in Mac, and I'd like to see him actually get a number one wide receiver for Mac Jones, but this is going to be a controversy. You have fans chanting Zappy. They wanted to see Bailey Zappi, and now the guy comes in. The offense had no life through the first three drives, and boom, you get two touchdown drives.
I see you now why in the past Bill Belichick has deflected on naming Mac Jones a starter full-time. He's added to the pot.
Well, that's the weird part. He started Mac. So clearly he thought Mac gave them the best chance to win, but then you pull Mac after three drives? Now it's worked. But that's a bizarre part to me, that if you're going to say that this guy they drafted in the first round, 15th overall, a year ago, and helped you win 10 games last year, is going to start when they probably could have rested him another week, you then pull him that quickly? Like, that's what doesn't make sense to me.
I would agree. Like, I don't know why you even start him or why bring him back. The one thing I do wonder then is if Mac Jones rushed himself back because he kind of felt the pressure and maybe felt his job slipping. So he says, screw it, I got to get back out there, because the more Bailey plays, maybe the harder for me it is going to be to get my job back once I do return. And, I mean, like you mentioned, he did not look healthy, and now it's not really helping his cause whatsoever.
Yeah, early on when they threw a penalty flag and he got up after taking a hit and he looked like he was limping, he didn't look like he was fully healthy. And if that's the case, then why are you even playing him? Now, maybe that's just me speculating. I could just tell you what I'm seeing with no sound on, just watching this game as I'm trying to host a national radio program. But I can't imagine that Mac Jones is 100% healthy. But this wasn't, oh, coach, my ankle's hurting, pull me. They pulled him because they thought Bailey Zappi was better in the moment than Mac Jones right now.
And that pick was very un-Mac Jones-like. Kind of rolling out and kind of threw it up for grabs. Like, that's like, he's been, always been someone who's been a very smart quarterback, always knows where to go with the football and didn't take many risks. And then here you are just kind of lobbing one up out of nowhere. And either you didn't see the safety or you didn't care. You said, I'll just chuck it anyway, screw it. And then either way, end up getting picked.
This NFL season's drunk when it comes to quarterback play. Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady are stinking up the joint. Taylor Heinicke yesterday outdueled Aaron Rodgers. PJ Walker outdueled Tom Brady. Bailey Zappi, for now this game you would think, has replaced Mac Jones in New England. And oh yeah, by the way, the Colts have now benched Matt Ryan through seven games and are going to Sam Ehlinger. Where do you want to start, hot take, Hickey? Which one do we want to delve through? We've already done enough Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi. I'm sure it will dominate the conversation tomorrow. You want to start with Taylor Heinicke? You want to go to PJ Walker or Sam Ehlinger? I'll let you choose which one do you want to go with first.
I feel like you want to talk Ehlinger. Let's just get it out of the way.
Well, hold on. And now you actually assumed, and you know what happens when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me. Let's get Taylor Heinicke out of the way first.
Let's do it.
Carson Wentz isn't healthy right now, and Carson Wentz isn't good. Taylor Heinicke beat Aaron Rodgers. Until Taylor Heinicke gives the job back, he should be the starter the rest of the way with the Commanders. Agree or disagree?
I agree, because Carson Wentz stinks. Heinicke at least provides you a spark. Now, he, again, is a project in his own right.
Rewind. Last year on the Zach Gelb Show, Carson Wentz is the future. Carson Wentz is the man. I am hot take Hickey. Carson Wentz, oh, they robbed the Philadelphia Eagles. Fast forward to the year of 2022. Carson Wentz stinks. Got to play Taylor Heinicke. Look at the difference of a year. A year.
Well, I believed blindly, and I got burned. Okay. Instead of seeing it in my own eyes.
Now can we get to PJ Walker? I want to save Sam Ehlinger and Matt Ryan. I want to save what's best for last. I went to college with PJ Walker. I interviewed PJ Walker the day he committed to Temple University. If you would have told me on that day that PJ Walker would be going to the NFL, I would have never believed you. Now, Temple turned out to be a back-to-back 10-win team with PJ Walker. But there were even some moments at Temple where either him or Henry Burris are probably the two best quarterbacks to ever play at Temple, where PJ Walker didn't look great. And in his last year at Temple, he found a way, after losing the first game of the season to, was it Army or Navy? I think it was Army, to rebound and then go on some big-time performances. And then we saw what happened in the XFL. Last year he played two games. I think they won both of them when he was starting at quarterback for the Panthers. But to beat Brady, I never saw that one coming. Never in a million years. And now, how about Steve Wilks earlier today? That P.J. Walker deserves the right to start with how he played. Sam Darnold now back. Baker Mayfield was trending to being back. And they just told Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, which I get it, they're not the two greatest quarterbacks in the world, you're going to sit on the bench until P.J. Walker gives you back the job. That takes some stones. Now, I know he's the interim coach. There's really nothing to lose. And P.J. Walker deserves to start next week with the way that he played. I'm just stunned as someone that's probably seen the most P.J. Walker. Not probably. I've seen the most P.J. Walker out of anyone in the media because I've been watching him since he's at Temple. That now P.J. Walker, until he gives up the job, is the guy for the Carolina Panthers for however long that may be. I never would have thought in a million years I'd be talking about that on a national radio show. Good for PJ.
Good for him, and no disrespect to him. That also just goes to how bad Sam Darnold is
point.
And how bad Baker Mayfield's been. Because, like, you're right. Like, that's the right move. And, like, it's like, okay, they have a chance with PJ Walker compared to the other two who are just giving you no chance.
You know what? It may be the most simple reasoning to this, and it's not just the 21-3. He got DJ Moore involved. Maybe DJ Moore now says, okay, I actually am fine with staying here for the rest of the season. I know you got to go eventually find a quarterback, but at least I'll get the football with P.J. Walker throwing it. Next up for the Carolina Panthers, it's the Falcons. I know the Falcons have been a gritty team, and their defense has played better than what you would have expected, and unfortunately A.J. Terrell got hurt. I did not see an update on him to see if that's going to be a long-term issue or not, but it wouldn't shock me if P.J. Walker plays well again against the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons have been a gritty team this year, but it's not like there's some unstoppable force where they're this great team. And they get the Falcons twice in the next 3 weeks. They play the Falcons this weekend, and they're in Cincinnati, and then they're back against the Falcons on Thursday Night Football.
This team stinks, but one game out of first place. I wonder if they go for it.
You're saying who? The Panthers?
Panthers.
Ah. Oh.
I am.
That's like, misleading. I know, but that's very misleading.
Imagine they're active at the trade deadline.
Hey, can we get Christian McCaffrey back?
Actually, a second thought.
You know what?
We're going for it.
Cam Akers, we actually want you now. Sean McVay, what is it going to cost? Odell, come join us in Carolina.
You found the answer. P.J. Walker.
Robbie, you were right. It is a bear. We want you back now on the football team. Now, who's the quarterback that you see next in Carolina? Because you're not saying that P.J. Walker's going to start the rest of the season.
No.
Neither am I.
No.
So who's the quarterback that you see next?
Oh, boy. That's a great call.
Sam or Baker? I would lean Baker. I think you may see all three. We've already seen Baker. Now you've seen P.J. I think eventually you go back to Baker, and I do think there will be a time where they go back to Sam.
I have a feeling the next one I think would be Sam Darnold, just because we've seen Baker five? I forget when he got hurt. Five games?
Mm-hmm.
It's been all bad.
I only missed one game.
It's all been really, really, really bad. And I just wonder, like, all right, we've seen him for an extended amount of time. Let's see what Sam can do. And then just kind of when he stinks, I'll throw Baker back in there.
Is your second favorite team the Carolina Panthers? Because you love bad quarterback play.
They are not. They're not my second favorite team.
Well, you got to get rid of the Colts for the rest of the year. You got to start rooting for someone else the rest of the year. Like another team. Like a side team. You need a side team.
That would have to be... I like the Dolphins. I like... You know, my friend's a Dolphins fan. I like Tua. Well, okay. That's not bad enough for you?
Nah, I thought you would go somewhere else.
Where? The Commanders? Root for Carson Wentz? Once he comes back?
No. You never go back to your ex.
The Seahawks? I can't do that.
In a good way.
Broncos, I've had to, you know, abandon ship.
You know who I think you should make nice with? A team that you've been very rude towards, and you've been telling me all throughout the year you thought I was crazy for them to make the playoffs. I think you should adopt the Minnesota Vikings.
I can't do that.
No?
I can't hitch my wagon against the Kirk Cousins.
Okay. That's fine. Anyway, let's get to your Colts takes here. Matt Ryan bench, in comes Sam Ehlinger, and somehow Frank Reich still has a job, even though his teams have been outscored in the first half this year 98-39. What do you got to say about your Indianapolis Colts? Because 2 weeks ago, a very erudite talk show host, I forget his name, he may host from 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 3 to 7 p.m. Pacific on CBS Sports Radio, told you should want to lose as many games as possible to try to go get the best draft pick to draft your quarterback of the future. And you said, no. The Colts could still be a good team. The Colts could still win this division. And now they lost twice to the Tennessee Titans. They've split with the Jaguars and they tied with the Texans. And now they're handing the keys over, I can't even say the Ferrari, to the rundown vehicle over to Sam Ehlinger. Where's your mentality at now with the Indianapolis Colts, if I could speak?
My biggest regret, actually not even regret, because it's not even something I should have seen coming in. The Colts, I thought, were never going to be bad enough to tank. Boy, was I wrong. This offensive line stinks. And you know what? It doesn't matter who's behind center. It doesn't matter. They can't call a five-step drop. You can't throw the ball beyond 5 yards line of scrimmage. You can't really run the ball whatsoever, no matter who's behind there, because the offensive line, you're paying them the most. They are the highest paid offensive line in the NFL. They can't block for you know what. So guess what? The tank is on. The tank is on. No problem. Let's go. They lose every game the rest of the year. Can't say I'd be upset, honestly.
So you mocked me 2 weeks ago when I told you that you should tank, and then 2 weeks later, you're all in on the tank.
Well, because I kept thinking like an idiot. All right, the offensive line eventually will come. You know, you have Quentin Nelson, who was supposed to be one of the best players in the NFL. You paid Ryan Kelly, supposed to be a Pro Bowl center. You have another Pro Bowl right tackle. No one can block. No one can block. If you can't block, you can't do anything. So it's not even Matt Ryan's fault per se. He's been terrible.
He's been pretty bad.
But it's not like he's the biggest reason why this team stinks. It's the offensive line. And if you can't block, you don't have a chance. So now it's just embrace the suck. And if they go 3-13-1, let's go.
So you are officially saying the Colts are not a good team this year.
I will be rooting against the Colts every single game. I hate to say it.
Wow. Like,
I hope they lose. I'm not kidding. I hope they lose this weekend.
Wow.
I hate tanking. I do. I don't think it works more times than not. I also think this Colts team, I've seen too many Band-Aids thrown on bullet holes where I am done. And I really want to start to see an actual change, an actual answer at the most important position in sports.
You know, I'm kind of hoping the Colts beat the Commanders this weekend.
No, don't you dare. See, I knew this was going to happen. Don't do it.
I could see now Sam Ehlinger getting his first pro victory up against Taylor Heinicke. I could see it.
And they play your Pats next week, I think, too.
Yeah, 2 weeks from now. Mm-hmm. That one I'll be rooting for the Pats. Be rooting for Bailey Zappe at quarterback.
Let's go Bailey, yeah. It could be a, you know, yeah.
Jeez. Wow, you're defeated. Lost. Shame. Hate to see it.
It's when you lose to the Titans and get bullied and you watch an offense that, again, can't complete a pass more than 10 yards down the field.
Can you also give a little credit to Tennessee? Because you've been so disrespectful to them the last three seasons, and they've just dominated you game in and game out.
They were physical. They're the better coach team. They don't beat themselves.
Oh, yeah. How about the coach? You ready to fire Frank?
He's the dead man walking. Yeah, that I feel like that's been evident for like week since really the Titans lost. Yeah. Maybe since the Jaguars lost week two, but
week one four, when he tied the Texans. Top eight coach though last year, you said.
I was a believer in Frank Reich. And then he fumbled Carson Wentz or really bungled that situation and now has made everything worse with Matt Ryan.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Hickey continues to be a good sport, and now finally good to know that he's honest about his football team for the first time this year. When we come on back, closing bell time, I'll tell you whose stock is booming, whose stock is dooming. I will also give you my top three teams in the AFC and the NFC.
What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports. Interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. You know me. I'll give you my unbiased opinion. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. A presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
You can think of Riley Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. One quick phone call before we get to the closing bell, 855-212-4CBS. We go to Dave in Alabama. Dave, go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to say, I mean, you know, it's kind of pathetic. You Patriots fans out there rooting for these backup quarterbacks. I mean, it's just terrible football to me. You know, if I'm not watching Mahomes or Josh Allen or Joe Burrow, it's just all trash to me. And, you know, you Patriots fans, you had your run. You did. And congratulations. Tom Brady carried Bill Belichick, who is, you know, just a guy.
You're really an idiot, Dave. He carried Bill Belichick. Did you watch the first three Super Bowls?
Oh, yeah, I watched them. It wasn't much. It wasn't much.
It wasn't much by whom?
No, you said the first three Super Bowls.
Yes.
I'll give Bill. Yeah, he won the first one.
Oh, Belichick, nice. You can give him. Now, how about it? I'm the biggest Brady fan there is, so I'm not knocking Brady here. But how about Super Bowl 53? Was that just nothing to nothing to Bill Belichick?
How come Malcolm Butler didn't play? Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, that was in the Eagles Super Bowl. I don't know. You think I'm defending Bill on that? He should have played in the game. I don't know why he didn't
exactly.
play.
Exactly. The defensive mastermind.
What did Malcolm Butler ever do since leaving the Patriots?
I mean, it doesn't matter. At the time, he was good.
It doesn't matter because he did nothing.
Why does it matter what he did after?
Because he did nothing once he got out of Belichick's scheme like every other corner. So what's your point here? Wait, Dave, what's your point here? I've been so complimentary to the Buffalo Bills. I have no problem with the Bills. I think the Bills are going to win the Super Bowl. But if your take is, if you don't have Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, you don't want to watch football.
It's terrible football. It's garbage. It's boring.
Then don't watch any football. So you don't watch any football unless if the Chiefs or the Bills play.
No, I'm watching because I'm a junkie. I mean, I admit I'm a junkie, but it is just garbage. I mean, the great quarterbacks own this league. It's Mahomes, it's Burrow, and it's Josh Allen. I mean, tell me I'm wrong.
That's your point? Football. Like, what do you want me to do? You want to throw a parade because you say that great quarterbacks win football? No crap. Should we not react to the games?
No, you can react to the games all you want. I just want you to admit Patriots dynasty is dead and the Patriots are in the grave.
Dave, do you have a brain? Dave, did I pick the Patriots to make the playoffs this year? Yes or no?
I don't know.
No, I didn't.
I just turn on the radio
because you want me to admit things. You want me to admit things that you think I've said that I haven't said. I've been the most realistic person that there's been with the Patriots. For the last 20 years, I told you you're going to dominate. Brady leaves, and I told you they weren't going to be that good. Yeah.
So how much credit? Let's do a percentage wise. You know, in the Patriots dynasty, which I give it, other than the Alabama dynasty, which I live in the state of Alabama, it's the second greatest dynasty of all time. How much credit does Bill Belichick get? Because he has been outcoached time and time again.
You know that they were 10-7 last year and made the playoffs with a rookie quarterback, Dave. Do you watch the games?
They got a little bit lucky. They get lucky.
Shut up, Dave! Shut up! Come on! Like, what's the point of the phone call? Don't get me wrong. There's not a bigger Brady fan on the planet than me. I love Tom Brady. Greatest quarterback of all time, but just to act like Belichick gets no credit. We all knew Brady was going to be great. And that's why he went in the sixth round, 199 overall. People didn't even think Brady should have made the roster. He was like the fourth quarterback. Belichick kept him, but give him no credit? Stop. Belichick will tell you players get all the credit. But to give Belichick no credit? Nonsense. And if your call is, I only like to watch great quarterbacks. I only like to watch Mahomes or Josh Allen. Okay, so what? We shouldn't talk about the other 30 teams in the league? Or he said Joe Burrow, too, so we shouldn't talk about the other 29 teams in the league? Like, what the heck is that guy smoking? You want me to admit that the Patriots dynasty's dead? What, did you think I actually believed that they were going to keep on winning Super Bowls at the rate that they were with Tom Brady no longer there? No, I told you the team was going to make the playoffs before the year. So that's just you working up an image of me in your brain off things that I said when I've never said those things. I knew they were going to take a step back, but they did make the playoffs last year. They're 10-7. To make it like Belichick's this bozo is a joke. All righty, we won't have time for the closing bell. We will get to it tomorrow. Just real quickly, I got to give you my three best teams in the AFC and my three best teams in the NFC because we've been teasing that throughout the duration of the show. In the AFC, Bills 1, Chiefs 2. Here's the toughest one. Who's the third best team in the AFC, Ryan? I have my team, but who is the third best team in the AFC right now? Bills 1, Chiefs 2. I don't even think that's debatable. Who's then sitting in at number 3?
I would say the Dolphins. I know Tua's missed time, so it's tough. You know, record-wise, they're only 4-3, but Tua's been out there. They've played really well. They haven't lost a game, which he's played and finished.
I can't go Miami. I got to go with Buffalo. One of the AFC North teams.
Beat the Ravens?
Yeah, I would go with the Ravens. Now, they couldn't finish three games, and I would look at the Bengals brewing. That performance last night, I know it's tough. It's to his first game back. Wasn't really inspiring by the Miami Dolphins when they were going up against an offense that's not that good in the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I would go Bills 1, Chiefs 2, Ravens 3. And then since the Ravens just beat the Bengals lurking there as that fourth team. In the NFC, Eagles 1. Then after that, have at it. I have the two teams in my mind on how I'm going to go, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on it first.
Eagles 1, I go Cowboys 2, Vikings 3, in terms of NFC power rankings.
I'm going to go Eagles 1, Vikings 2, and I'm going to take a team in the New York Giants that are 6-1, and every week they just find a way to grind out victories. Now, on paper, are the Cowboys more talented? Yes. Did the Cowboys beat the Giants this year? Yes. But there's just something weird with the Giants in like a magical way so far, where I think they're a lock to make the playoffs. They're not going to go to a Super Bowl. They're not going to win or get to the conference title game. They may not even win a playoff game. But I can only based off what I've seen so far, and the Giants have never given you an effort this year. They've been in every game that they played, and it's crazy that they are 6-1 because that roster is not all that talented. You know, I'm still confused here by Dave in Alabama, what he was trying to get at on that phone call there, Hot Take Iggy. I didn't expect that to escalate like that.
I'm assuming he's a Bills fan and maybe now trying to puff his chest out by saying something obvious that it's the Bills division the next 10 years.
Like, I know obviously. I'm a Patriot fan, but like I've been so complimentary to the Buffalo Bills. You know, the best team in the NFL. It's obvious. So where are we at? All you wanted me to do was just admit that the Patriots dynasty is dead?
Boom, like, roasted.
Oh, yeah. Wow. After 20 years, you finally got me, Dave. Moron. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Appreciate Eric McLean for joining us. Hot Take Hickey as well for producing this extravaganza. We'll be back tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. Are we at halftime yet? Sorry, I got all caught up with Dave and yelling at Dave.
At halftime.
So we are finally at halftime. It is 20-14. The Bears are up on the Pats, and Bailey Zappe, in Mac Jones' first game back, has found a way to replace Mac Jones. My oh my. All right, should be a fun show tomorrow. We'll recap full week 7, since this is the final game. And we got some college football points to get to tomorrow. You never know what else will pop up. And also, we'll talk a little baseball at some point this week. Phillies in the World Series against the Houston Astros, just like we all predicted, right? Have a good night, everybody. Bye-bye. Peace.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.